Let's turn to Genesis chapter 1, or 21, sorry, once again. As we said this morning, we're setting aside our studies just for today, and dealing with a Mother's Day subject. We started this morning, and we're coming back to finish this evening. Genesis 21, we'll take the time to read from the opening verse, and we're going to read once again down to the end of verse 20. Genesis 21, the verse 1, "And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. The Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, Who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah would have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. The child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, Cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. God said unto Abraham, Let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad, because of thy bondwoman and all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, took bread and a bottle of water, and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bowshot. For she said, Let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled a bottle with water and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. Amen. And the Lord will add his own blessing once again to the reading of his precious word. We commence this very brief look at the life of Hagar, and in particular the verse 16, as these circumstances have come upon Hagar this morning. We were really tying it in with the Mother's Day as theme, with how the mothers are this time of the year, and especially on this one day in the year when mothers are treated well, shall we say, and spoiled. Gifts are bought. Breakfasts or lunches or whatever can be done, that little bit extra is done to, as a way of saying thank you and acknowledging the great help and the encouragement, the love that the mother gives. We brought the attention this morning to Hagar, and in particular to this verse, and her cry, Let me not see the death of the child. We commence by looking at the problems with the child. In verse 9, and how Ishmael had mocked Isaac. We highlighted to each and every one that was here that It wasn't simply the mocking between children of making fun one of another, but rather because of Isaac and who Isaac represented, he was that type of Christ. He was that fulfillment of the covenantal promise that Abraham had that seed, and from the seed of Abraham would come forth Isaac, from Isaac would come forth Jacob, in other words, would come forth Israel and all of the tribes and all of the nation, but through the tribes of Jacob, through Israel, the tribe of Judah, down to the household of David. And then further on would come the Lord Jesus Christ. We highlight it to you this day that any who reject the gospel are mocking the gospel and rejecting the Lord, mocking him. That salvation which is freely offered by the Lord Jesus Christ, that salvation that only is found in the Lord, and for anyone, whether young or old, to come to hear their need of salvation, to hear that there is one who died in their stead, but to go out rejecting that gospel, rejecting that free offer of salvation, not only are they rejecting, but they're mocking. And then we moved on from the problems of the child. We came to the passion of the mother. We said, and we highlighted to you, that there was that passion. She had ran out of water. She had run out of food there in the wilderness. Somewhere along the journey, they had got lost. They had enough provision to make it, but yet they ran out. And so it was that the child is now seriously dehydrated. This young teenager, we highlighted to you this morning that whenever Isaac was born, that Ishmael was in around the age of 14, 15. So therefore, even as it came to me afresh this night, if you add in the years of weaning, Ishmael is now roughly, could be anything between 15 and 20. But he's seriously dehydrated. His mother, that care, that devotion that she has, she can't conjure up water or food. She can't do anything of herself to make him survive. But she doesn't want to see him lost and dead. So the first thing she does is she puts him under the shrub. We highlighted to you how that represents the church, the canopy, and bringing him under the tree. And the shrub that is here is depicted, they believe it to be either a juniper or a fir tree. We encouraged each and every parent, whenever your children are growing up, and even as they get older, you constantly bring them under the canopy of the church. Bring them under that tree, the tree of the gospel. In other words, bring them to the cross. Teach them of the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach them of his death. Teach them of that need of suffering there upon the cross, that Christ must needs suffer. Christ must needs bleed and die, that each and every one who comes in faith to him might have life. Not only did she bring him under the canopy or under the shrub, then the verse 16, we noted this morning how she went away and she prayed for him. She lifted up her voice and she wept. She poured out her heart onto the Lord, that love, that care for her son. She's longing for that miracle to come. She's longing for that intervention of the Lord in that child or that young boy's life. That he would not just simply die, but that rather that the Lord would step in and do a miracle in his life. We brought to your attention the Shunammite woman. 2 Kings 4:27, after her son had died, what did she do? She ran to Elisha. And she basically fell at his feet and she hugged his feet, his legs. She wouldn't let go of him until he came, until that little boy came back to life. And that's as far as we got this morning. We concluded simply by encouraging each mother and, yea, each father, each one with loved ones out of Christ, continue to pray for them. Pray on. Don't give up, and don't, as it were, give over. Keep praying. Keep crying unto the Lord that the Lord would have mercy upon the loved ones and our families. Many years ago in Boston, an old lady was involved in an accident. As she lay in hospital, the doctor gave the prognosis that she would not survive. She would not survive but a day. One of the nurses that was treating her at that time, she came and she talked to the lady. And in conversation, the lady explained the situation of why she was there in Boston. Many years before, her son had left. They had grown up in California. And her son had left the family home and had went off into the world. And the mother had sold up the house, had sold up, or give up her job, and taken all the money, all of the possessions that she had, sold everything, and with every penny she had, she commenced her journey. And between San Francisco and Boston, she stopped in every town and city. She went to every hospital and every police station. She went with that desire, that burden, that she would find her son. Every time that she came to any town or any city, every hospital, "Have you seen my son?" Every police station, "Have you seen my son?" And now, as this lady is upon her deathbed there in the hospital, she asked the nurse to promise her. She says, "Will you promise me if you ever meet my son?" And she told him the name. She says, "Will you tell him that too we're looking for him?" The nurse, puzzled for a moment, she wondered, "Who are the two?" With the last gasps and the last breaths of the mother, the nurse says, "But who are the two? Tell me who are the two so I can tell him." And she says, "Tell him that his mother was looking for him. And tell him the other was the Lord." And with that, the mother passed. Hagar was willing to continue crying. Hagar was willing to continue to cry unto the Lord. She was unwilling to give up on him. Even as that mother was there, she traveled from town to town, from city to city. She never gave up on finding her son. She never gave up on seeing her son once again back into the family, as it were, and being brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Hagar here in this passage, she's crying unto the Lord. She's weeping unto the Lord. She pours her heart out unto the Lord that the Lord would have mercy. She remembers what the Lord had done for her. Hagar can remember in the past when she was pregnant with Ishmael and she was cast out of the household of Sarah. And there beside that well, or there in that desert place, the Lord came and had mercy upon her. And Hagar's testimony in Genesis 16, verse 13, "Thy God seest me." So these years later, as her child is lying under that shrub, Hagar but a bowshot away, she's turning to the Lord. She believes that just as God had seen her in her time of need, she believes so too could God see her son Ishmael. Mothers and fathers today, just as the Lord saw you in your time of need, your spiritual need, just as the Lord looked down in mercy upon you and plucked you up out of that miry clay, and set your feet upon the rock, Christ Jesus, so too does he see your child's need. So too does he see the need of your son, your daughter. And children, so too does he see the need of your parents if they're still outside of Christ, those loved ones in your family. And just as the Lord plucked you up, saved your souls, so too can he do that with your loved ones. So too can he do that with your parents, with your children. Hagar, she firmly believed in the power of the Lord. She firmly believed in the possibilities that there are with the Lord. That all things are possible with God. That there's nothing impossible with the Lord. It's not impossible for the Lord to save her son Ishmael, even though the water has run out, even though the bread is done, and even though he's now lying and he's unable to walk, even though he's unable to care for himself, to get up and to continue that journey, and she does not have the strength of herself to carry him, yet she believes, "I will cry unto the Lord. I will lift my voice unto him, and I believe that just as he saved me before that child was born, so too can he save the child now." The passion of the mother. I want you to see, thirdly, the plea of the mother. Verse 16, I draw your attention to those words again. "Let me not see the death of the child." The plea upon the lips of Hagar and upon her mind and heart was for the perseverance of the Son. It wasn't for his wealth. It wasn't for his financial security. It wasn't for his name to be known. It wasn't for popularity for her son. It wasn't the case that she longed for his name to go down in history as a leader amongst men. She didn't cry unto the Lord and she said, "Lord, make my son great, that all men and women will follow after him, that he will become a leader in the land, that he will become a leader of the people." No, she simply cries unto the Lord, "Lord, I don't want my child to die. I don't want him to die here and die this death. I want him to live." No, there ought not to be any greater plea upon the lips and hearts of each mother and each father. Not for our children just to be rich. Not for our children just to have comfort in their lives and to have a happy and peaceful life. Not just to have well-paying jobs in the future. That they go and they make successes, as it were, of their lives in the world. That they get jobs and they get the careers, that they're stable and they have that stable income for their families. Not just that our children get through their schooling days, get university degrees, get married, have children, have families. But oh, that the plea of each and every parent will be this, that my child is saved. That my child, above all other things, is a child of God. Oh yes, we long for our children to do well in their education. We long for our children to have jobs that are good jobs and pay the bills and put a roof over their heads. We long for them to have that comfort, to have a good wife or a good husband, to be blessed with children, if that be the Lord's will. But above all else, parent, have that desire, that passionate plea, "Lord, save my child. Save my son, save my daughter. Save them from hell." You think of the passionate pleas that are found in the scriptures. No greater plea than that of Paul. Romans 10, verse 1, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." You think of the words of John in 3 John in the verse 4, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Let me tell you, there's no greater joy for a parent than knowing that your child is saved. There's no greater joy comes to the heart and comes to the mind of the parent than that time when a child comes to you and says, "Mom, Dad, I'm saved. I've asked the Lord to save me. I believe that the Lord has saved me and now I'm one of his children." There's no greater plea, no greater passion, no greater prayer that ought to be on the hearts and on the lips of every mother and father, that God in his mercy saves our children. From the minute that child is born, yea, even from the moment when the parents know that the child is expected, pray for its health, yes. Pray for that safe delivery of the child, yes. Pray that they might be watched over and cared for and kept each and every day of their lives. But above all, have that prayer, pray for their salvation. God would have mercy upon their souls. You know, that plea for Hagar, it never changed. She kept the same plea. She never forgot about his need. She never moved on to any other subject or petition. That was a constant prayer to God. She removed herself that bowshot, and there she is, and she's sitting down wherever it was in the wilderness, and she's simply crying unto the Lord, "Lord, let me not see the death of the child. Lord, let me not see the death of the child. Lord, let me not see the death of the child." And the tears are flowing down her face, the voice is lifted up to the Lord, "Lord, let me not see the death of the child." She doesn't then pray, "Oh Lord, get me out of here. Get me to a place of security. Get me to a somewhere that I am cared for and that we survive." No, it's, "Lord, let me not see the death of the child." Continual plea. asking for the Lord to intervene. I want you to see, fourthly, verse 17, the pitying of the Lord. The pitying of the Lord. God heard the voice of the lad. The angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven, said unto thee, unto her, what aileth thee? Hagar, fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Oh, what mercy is found in our God. He heard the cry. But whose cry? He heard the cry of both mother and son. We know he heard, that the Lord heard the cry of the mother, because he sent that voice of the angel. But notice what the angel said. He says, God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. It highlights Hagar was praying, yes. But it highlights that the young boy Ishmael was praying. He was crying unto the Lord. Let me just highlight in passing, how did Ishmael know to cry? How did Ishmael know to cry unto the Lord? Because of the home life. Because of the influence of the father. Because of the testimony of the mother. He was a son of Abraham. Illegitimate, yes, but he was a son of Abraham. He was there in the home. And for those years, up until his teenage years, he saw the Father. And he saw the power of the Father in prayer with God. He saw the godly walk. He saw the godly talk. He saw a man that was in tune with God. He heard the testimony of his mother Hagar. Before I gave birth to Ishmael, God saw me. God had mercy upon me, and God spared my life. And Ishmael, as he's under that shrub, he knows by the example and education of Abraham and Hagar, he knows, if I cry unto God, God will hear me. So there under that shrub, God pitied the boy. The boy was brought to an end of himself. That boy under that shrub was there, and he realized, I am doomed. And I'm going to die. My mother can't save me. My mother's done everything that she can for me. She's put me under this shrub. She's brought me, as it were, out of the cover of that sun. And she's brought me under the cover of this tree. But she's no water to give me. She can't carry me on her back to the next town or to the next city. She can't do anything more for me. And I am now useless myself. I can't get on my feet and walk. I can't go and look for water or look for food. I am lying here helpless under this shrub. I can't be saved. So I look up. He turned to the Lord, the one whom his mother and father had taught him of. Turn to the one who hears and who answers prayer. The one, the only one who could save him. He lifts up his voice and he cries on to the Lord. The Lord heard him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Psalm 40, the verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me. He heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, and out of the miry clay he set my feet upon a rock. Because he heard the cry. Because there was that turning away from self. There was that discarding of our own strengths and of our own merits and of our own talents, as it were. And it's turning to the Lord in faith. Lord, I am lost without you. Without the direct intervention of God, I am going to die. The Lord heard the cry of Ishmael. He knew where he was. He knew his need. Pitying of the Lord. I want you to see fifthly and finally the verse 19. The provision of the Lord. God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water. She went and she filled a bottle with water and gave the lad to drink. What is it that Ishmael needed to survive? What did he need to be saved? He needed water. What a picture of Christ. You think of that account in John 4, the woman of Samaria. The disciples go off into the town to get the bread, to get the food, as it were, for the Lord and for themselves. And the Lord's sitting there beside the well, and the woman of Samaria, she comes down, and she says, and the Lord says unto her, give me to drink. What is the testimony given in John 4:14? Whosoever drinketh of this water, or of the water that I shall give him, shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Salvation. See, Christ is that living water. That pure, that perfect spring of life that satisfies every need that man has. You think of the words of Revelation 22 in the verse 1, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. The eternal life, the life that we need, the life that will save us from our death, it's all that's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. You think of the words of the Lord there to Nicodemus in John 3 and the verse 5. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. It's not speaking of baptism. It's not speaking of water being poured over a head or someone going through the waters of baptism. It's speaking of that water that's found, salvation that's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. You think of the words of Ezekiel 36 and 25. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. From all your filthinesses, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. It's a well of water that gave the life to Ishmael, that he would be saved from death. Brethren and sisters, men and women, boys and girls, it's only the well of water, that spring of living water, the Lord Jesus Christ, that can save. The canopy is not enough to save. The food, the clothing is not enough to save. It's the water that's needed. It's Christ. What happened on the cross when the spear was pierced through his side? It came blood and water. You picture the joy that day. One second, Hagar is brokenhearted, crying unto the Lord for her son. She can't bear to see him die. She only stopped crying when the Lord came to her with that news. Hagar, I've heard the cry of your child. There was a spring of water, and the lad tasted the water. He drank of the well. Physically that day, he was saved. She never stopped praying till the answer came. As I said this morning, mothers, if you're praying for your children out of Christ, keep praying till that answer comes. Dr. John Walford, teaching in Dallas Theological Seminar many years ago, told a story to his students how a mother had prayed for her son for 60 years. One week before her death, her son phoned her. He said, "Mom, I've got saved." Mothers and fathers, never give up hope. Even if your child grows up and goes into the world, and they're living in sin, keep pleading with the Lord. Keep bringing them to God. Bring them to God in prayer. Bring them, encourage them to come under the canopy of preaching and of gospel witness. The Lord's merciful. He can save. He's able to do abundantly above all that we ask or think. His promise, "Call unto me and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things whereof thou knowest not." The water of life is there. Christ is still that pure and perfect river of life. And that water of life is as pure and perfect today as it was millennia after millennia. Know that our children, that our loved ones would come and taste it. Maybe I'm speaking to one tonight who's outside of Christ. Maybe a child. Maybe an older person. And you know for years, your parents, husbands, wives, maybe even your children have been praying for you. You're not saved. Come and taste of that water. Christ can satisfy every need. He loves. He longs to save. If you but come. I trust and pray that the Lord will take what has been of him and encourage us. Those mothers and fathers that have been praying for their children for years, keep praying. The Lord's able. Happy Mother's Day. May the Lord even give us the answers to our prayers, even soon, that we will have the joy of seeing our children and our family won for Christ.